Hi, my name is Carly Anna, and you are listening to CE Over It. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode. We are going to be diving deep into launching and talking all things about how to market digital products for passive income. We did a huge Q&A last season on passive income and digital products, and today we're going to talk more about the marketing part of it. This is something that I have... like 8 years, I don't know. I have a lot of experience with this, and we've been trying so many different things for years with digital products. We have tried launching every single month. We have tried, webinars. We have tried doing it on podcasts. I feel like we have tried almost every single different kind of like launching. And marketing type of strategy that I'm ready and excited to talk about it. It's going to be a fun one. So let's get started. First, before we dive into our first segment, I do want to let you guys know that we have an entire course on building unique digital products for creative. It's called the Digital Product Disruptor. It's for any creatives who are ready to start building a digital product, but not just any digital product. This course specifically focuses on the research-based strategies to help you create a digital product that is going to be transformational, something you're passionate about, and something that is actually going to have its own space. The digital product industry is incredibly saturated. I feel like every single person is coming out with their own course every other day, and this program is specifically designed to help you create something that is going to be unique. It's going to be helpful. This is created with my husband, who has his master's in, information design and technology or something like that. I think I'm saying it wrong. I think that's actually my dad's PhD and not my husband's, but I can't quite remember. Anyways, he is basically a master at online education and human behavior and human motivation. And so that's what this whole course with my like 8+ years of selling digital products and then his actual master's in this, we decided to come together and create a course that has all the research-backed strategies in it. I have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars, like I'm not kidding guys, on these types of products that are like, hey, here's how to like market a digital product. Here's how to do all the different kinds of things about how to have success with digital products. But nobody ever actually taught me how to create one that is good, transformational, unique. Like it's all just like, here's the software that you need, here's the blah, 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 blah that you might need, and here's how to market it and make money. Like no one actually talks about making something that's incredibly unique. So I'm excited about this product. We just did our last round in January. It was amazing, and I'm excited to do our next one here pretty soon. And if you get on the wait list, you get $200 off. So go get on the wait list. It's going to be super fun. Okay, let's get into our first segment, Snacks and Tracks. You guys, I have two books that I want to update you with because I kind of went on a reading craze the past week. I finished the third book of Way of Kings, and I was like, okay, I really need a break from that just from that series because it's really, really heavy, even though I still keep coming back to it in my mind. And I really want to know what is going to happen next because it's just eating away at my brain slowly in the back. So I know I'm going to have to start the next series, the book in the series soon, because I'm dying to know what happens next. But the books are just so long. Like for reference, the last book was like, I can't remember if it was like 40 hours or 60 hours, like somewhere between 40 and 60 hours. Maybe it was just 50. Like they are so long. I started in January and I have been reading them for the entirety of the year. It takes forever. So I was like, I need to break something up. And I was like, I just need something that's purely entertaining because I love The Way of Kings by Brandon Sanderson, but it is very, very information heavy. You have to really understand what's going on. There's a lot of moving parts, a lot of characters. I'm understanding it more. This is my second time reading it, and I get it so much more now. The first time, a lot of stuff went over my head, but I'm still having to really focus on what's happening. So I decided to pick up Bride by Allie Hazelwood, and oh my goodness, it was exactly what I needed after reading The Way of Kings by Brandon Sanderson because it was purely fun. Like I genuinely don't know if I wouldn't have read that book at a different time when I didn't need something like this. Like I don't know if I would have loved it as much as I did, but because it was seriously exactly what I needed at the time, I am like rating it 5 out of 5. But I say that with hesitancy because it's not necessarily like on my God tier list of books, but for what it is, and I think if you go into that book with the right understanding and like precautions, you will also rate it a 5 out of 5. So you need to go into this book knowing this is going to be pretty much just like a smutty, fun book. It reads like a Wattpad romance. Some of the stuff in there are extremely cheesy, but you have a good time. Like, I had way more fun with Bride than I did with Fourth Wing, which I feel like Fourth Wing kind of falls into that same category. Like, it's not incredibly unique of a book. It follows every single trope, but it is still so fun to freaking read. And that's how Bride was. But like, I genuinely feel like I had way more fun with it than I did Fourth Wing. So I highly suggest you go read it. It almost has me wanting to read her other books. Like, if you have read, I think Love Theoretically, it's like something about a professor falling in love with a professor or something. I don't know. I still am hesitant to pick that one up just because it's like, I don't know, the whole idea of like falling in love with a professor or like scientist, like it just doesn't intrigue me. The storyline doesn't. So who knows, maybe at some point I will, but I really enjoyed it. Then the second book that I read, because I was like, okay, I still feel like I need something fun, but I want something with just slightly more substance. And I read Just for the Summer by, I think it was Abby Yimenez. Let me look. Jimenez, or who was it? What was her name? Yami Abby Jimenez? I gotta look up how to pronounce that. Abby Jimenez. Abby Jimenez. That's how you say her name. Okay, so I read the book Just for the Summer by Abby Jimenez, and that was so good. I went into that book thinking it was going to be like a fun little summer romance, a little rom-com that I feel like had a little bit of substance, but purely more for fun. And don't get me wrong, Just for the Summer had those vibes for sure, where it was fun, it was like flirty, the romance was definitely the highlight of what was going on in the storyline, and it was really well written. Like, I feel like the two characters, I was rooting for them the entire times, but they also had good personalities on their own. Like, I really, really enjoyed getting to know the two main characters. They just had so much depth to them, and I could tell, I was like, yes, like, they are people who should be together. Like, it makes sense. Not just for, so the whole premise of the book is like, this guy has this like quote unquote curse that everyone who he dates and then breaks up with, they find their soulmate right after. And so he posts this thing on Reddit talking about how he has this weird curse, and this other girl, it goes viral, and then this other girl finds it and she's like, oh my gosh, I have the same thing. And so they kind of like, under precarious circumstances, decide to start dating because they're like, hey, just for fun, we are supposedly now going to break this curse because we'll both find our soulmates after. And so just beyond that, like, you get past that so quickly, you realize that they have so much of the same personalities and quirks and like same traumas and things that they relate to on such a deeper level that I thoroughly enjoyed. But also, one, read the trigger warnings, because this does go much deeper into something that I was not prepared for at all. And I don't know if I should have read it at this time, because it goes really, really deep into like parent trauma. And if you guys listen to my first episode of like when I restarted podcasting again, you know, like with in-laws and stuff, how much drama and stuff is going on with that. And each character has their own different type of parental drama going on. And so I was not prepared. Like, they dove really, really deep into it. And I feel like they did such a good job of showcasing what that is actually like, and it had some really great themes in it. I was bawling by the end. I just like loved so much how she ended it, because I feel like sometimes in rom-coms where it's like, okay, they obviously have things that they need to work through, Like, there's this problem that keeps coming up in the book of, like, why the couple can't get together. And they kind of, they, like, overcome it. There's this big realization, and then they get together. But sometimes I'm just like, they're obviously going to have to work through that. Like, she still has a lot of trauma. She still has things that she's working through. Like, that's not necessarily realistic that they get together right at the end. And it's still a happy ending. Like, I'm not going to blow it. But there are some twists and turns that make it a lot more realistic. And I love the way Ami Menez did it. It was so, so good. Like, I definitely want to read more of her books. I didn't realize she had more books. I just randomly picked this up on Audible because I was like, it's a new release. I was like, okay, cool. It sounds good. And the reviews on Audible were like amazing. So I was like, okay, yeah, I'll check it out. This is exactly what I'm looking for. And I'm so glad I did. Like, that is a 5 out of 5 star book in general, not just like Bride, where I'm like, okay, understand what it is. It's like a Wattpad fun book. There are parts about it that I don't like, but I'm not going to criticize it because I don't think that's like what the book was intended for. Now, Just for the Summer overall is a good book, like life-changing book. I don't want to like say it's similar to Colleen Hoover because I kind of have fallen out of love with Colleen Hoover. But like the way that it's like a romance, but also there are some deeper things that are like going in there. Like that's kind of how I see it, but like 10 times better. I loved, loved, loved this book. I'm still thinking about it every day. I feel like that's like always like my biggest indicator for a book is like how much I'm thinking about it after. There are some books where I just like forget and I'm like, wait, what was the plot line? Like, I have no idea. I don't know. And then I'm like, that probably isn't a very good book. And then I go change my rating. But with this book, I am still like a week later finishing. So I read those 2 books in a week. I can't remember what I was doing. I was like doing tons of cleaning and stuff. So I had a ton of time to listen on Audible. Also, just a side note, by the time this comes out, I think it should still be available. If you guys have an Audible subscription, there are so many good books that are free on Audible this week. So like the ones that I have are A Darker Shade of Magic, Gideon the Ninth, that whole series, the whole Lord of the Rings series is free, the whole King of Battle and Blood series. I don't really know anything about that series, but I'm going to read it is free. What Lies Beyond the Veil is a free series. Again, I don't know anything about that series. I've seen it a little bit out here and there on TikTok, but I don't really know what it is. A Game of Fate by Scarlett St. Clair is a free series. I don't know anything about that one, but I just got it because it looked good. But the part that I really want to tell you guys about, the ones that are free, is the entire Red Rising series is free on Audible right now. I have been waiting for the new dramatization versions to be dropped. I should see if the dramatization versions are free, included until 5/3. Interesting. I'm going to see if there are more, like, let's see, are the dramatization ones free right now? I don't know if I'm going to be able to tell because I have already bought them. I don't know if the graphic audio versions are free, but the other ones are free. So I think I might start that series back up again. I've heard the original narrator is really, really good, but I just love the graphic audio version so much that I can't decide if I'm going to start reading it again. I downloaded it just in case, but they're all free right now. So you should go check it out. Okay. Now for the snack that I have been listening to. Okay. This is such a dumb thing to become hyperfixated with because I feel like it feels so pick me girl. And I think everyone goes through this phase, but I just like was in Costco, and you guys know I feel like all the things that I get obsessed with are from Costco, but I was in Costco and I was just strolling through the aisles and I was like, that looks really good. But I feel like I've tried those before and I don't know why. I'm going to try it again. And it was the Grillo's pickles. Oh my gosh. I don't know what happened because I swear I've tried them before and I didn't like it. I know I've tried the Bubba's pickles from Costco and I did not like those at all, but I don't know why. I was like, yeah, like let's try it. Like they just look so fresh and all the floaty garlics and dill things in there, it just like looked so appetizing. I don't know what came over me because I really didn't think I was gonna like it, especially because I've tried it. But I was like, you know what, let's do it. I think it's also, I saw a TikTok where it's like, hey, for runners, like you guys should be eating pickles all the time because it has so many electrolytes in it. And I was like, that's a really good point. I remember learning that like when I was doing high school softball, we would eat pickles all the time. I was like, I should be eating pickles more. So I saw that and I was like, okay, let's try it again. Oh my gosh, I went through the entire tub in a week. There's like 25 spears in there. I literally had to have my mom, who was running to Costco already, I had to pay her to give me more pickles, and I'm scared I'm gonna run through those really, really quickly. Like, I might need to be getting a tub a week. They are so freaking good. I just wanna eat one all the time. I'm never not in the mood now for the Grillo's pickles. Not just any pickle though, I'm always just wanting the Grillo's pickles. They're so fresh and delicious. Oh, I have been obsessed. So today's episode about my entire launch schedule. I'm going to spill the entire beans about launching and what I would do. Now, we have changed a lot of things when it comes to launching in 2024. We have tried everything. Like, there was a full year, I think in 2022, where we launched every single month because we simply just wanted to get really, really good at it. And so I was like, okay, cool. We're going to try something new every single month. And a lot of those things really hardcore sucked and did not work at all. But we learned so much when it comes to launching that I feel like a big, huge momentum builder for that year was just like the fact that we were failing and learning over and over and over again. And so we have gotten quite good, if I may say so for myself, at launching. We've been doing this for like 8 years plus. We built multiple digital products. We've been doing courses since before courses were cool. So I'm excited to talk about this today. Now, I want to share the entire launch schedule with you over a 3 month period, what I would be doing from A to B to C, step one, step two, step three. But before we get into the actual schedule, there are some like precursors that I feel like we need to talk about. We need to like be aware of, because there is a huge scare around launching, I guess. And there are some things that I feel like people just get wrong, that we haven't been necessarily talked about a whole ton. And so I think it's important to, one, just address these first few things. And even if you're feel like, maybe I'll launch, maybe I'll not, maybe these few things will help you feel confident in launching and that this is something that you can do. Because also, side note, if you don't even have a digital product that you want to launch, I think that this is something that every service provider creative should be doing, because it's going to help your marketing skills so much. So much. Even if it's literally like, I'm going to be launching my waitlist, I am going to be selling the last branding spot that I have for next month. I just think it's a really great exercise to go through, to force yourself to do a little bit more of a hard sell, to go through your social media in the sense of like preparing to sell something. It changes the entire game of your marketing plan when you know at the end of the quarter, I am going to be hardcore selling something, so I want to prepare my community as much as possible. So here are the things that I feel like we should talk about before we get into the actual schedule. One, the sooner you start, the better. Now, start now. Start now. Even if you're thinking about doing a digital product, but you're like, I don't know what it is. I have this vague sense of what it is that I want to be doing. Like, I know maybe it's something around brand strategy, but I haven't quite figured out all the nooks and crannies of like, is it going to be a course? Is it going to be a podcast? Start talking to your community right now about brand strategy. Get them used to you being an expert in that area. And even if they're not used to you being an expert in that area, like if you feel like you're just talking into the void and no one is listening, then you need to get people listening now. Start posting content that's going to be funny and relatable. Get people listening as soon as possible. And I think this also goes to show too for people who are like, well, I'm not quite ready because I want to build my audience and I don't have enough followers. Like, I just don't have a big enough platform to have a launch. Start doing all that work now of building your audience and your network. Start doing collaborations. Start getting in front of new communities, all those types of things. Start doing ASAP, because the longer that your community has gotten to know you with this expertise that you're going to be selling a digital product in or your service in, the easier the launch is going to be. Like, I genuinely feel like that is where a lot of people get wrong when it comes to launching, is they'll just like be like, hey, I'm launching this product, and they like put it up for a week and they put it down, and then the launch doesn't go great. So they're like, oh my gosh, what happened? Like, I hate launching. It sucks. But they haven't done any of the pre-work. When honestly, the more pre-work you do, the more pre-launch that you do, the more warming up your audience happens, like the easier the launch is. Like, you could literally do an amazing, amazing launch. You do all the right things. You follow whatever it is that someone is so telling you to follow. But then if you had no warming up, people have no idea what the heck it is that you're talking about, like, you are going to almost guaranteed like 90 to 95% sure you will flop. It's not going to work. And that is a huge mistake that I've seen so many people do. Like, I'll be following someone on Instagram and I'm like, I'm sure this is a great product, but like, this feels like it's coming out of nowhere. Like, it's, I have no clue what it is that you're talking about. And it's not that I'm necessarily like looking at them and be like, I don't trust you. But like, to me, it feels quick. And so I'm like, did this product become a, just a last minute spur of the moment thing? Or have they really been doing this for months? Like, how come I'm just barely hearing about this now? Whenever you're launching something, you don't want it to be a huge surprise. You want it to feel like, oh my gosh, yes, of course this makes sense. Now, that doesn't mean 3 months before you launch something, you need to be like, hey guys, like, save your date. This is the day I'm going to be talking about something. But it should be that 3 months before you launch something, you start talking about, say you're going to do a brand strategy course. And so you start talking about brand strategy. So then like 2 months later, when you open up the wait list for that course, people are like, oh yes, of course, that makes sense. She's been talking about it. I've been loving her brand strategy content around that. So start preparing your audience as soon as possible. If just whatever it is, share sneak peeks, share a little behind the scenes, start doing just a little bit of content around that. You don't need to do the whole shebang, but just share what you can already. 3 months from now, 6 months from now, whatever it is, just the sooner, the better. Okay, second thing that I feel like people, we need to talk about before we get into the whole gist of launching is we need to approach launching, I feel like, from a storyline point of view. So what I want you guys all to do right now, if you're wanting to launch something, is you're going to look at your calendar and 3 months from now, or maybe, I don't know if I would do 6 months, that feels like a little far out there, but even just like 3 months or 2 months or 6 weeks in the future, you are going to pick a date that you're going to say, that is the day that I will be launching fill in the blank. That's the date. Pick the day or it's never going to be happening. You can't even just be like, oh yeah, sometime in August is when I'm going to be launching it. Like, just put a date down. You can always change it later, like if something comes up, but put it down so you actually have something on the calendar. You don't have to completely stick by it. You can be flexible, but put it down. And then what you're going to do is you're going to say, okay, August 16th, that is the day that I'm going to be launching, just for the sake, since we've already been talking about this, a brand strategy course. Now, what are all the things that somebody, if they were just finding out about me, need to know before they bought that course? What are the things that they might be feeling? What are the things that they might be wondering about? Questions? Do they have some beliefs that like I might need to help them with? So for example, like when we very first came out, because we do have a brand strategy course, with that course 6 years ago, brand strategy wasn't like a very popular thing. It wasn't like everyone was doing it like it is now. And now there's a ton of courses on brand strategy. So we had to like tell people, this is what brand strategy is. And we actually had to start it with like, hey, are you struggling with getting a ton of revisions on your projects? And we had like we still actually have our zero revisions freebie. It's still amazing. We had a whole freebie about getting zero revisions and stuff like that. And we started with that. And then we're like, hey, because we feel like you're someone who is struggling with getting lots of revisions and maybe you're not doing ideal projects, brand strategy, here's how that's actually potentially a solution. So we started with a problem, the surface level issue that they were struggling with that they have not yet connected to brand strategy being the solution. And we just started helping them with that. So you kind of have to meet people where they're at. They might not realize that your service or whatever it is that you're selling is connected to their issue. And so you don't need to start with your service and start talking about necessarily, here's why brand strategy is so helpful. Start with the problems that they are having, that they are feeling, that they are seeing every single day. And start by that and then start building up on one another. So, okay, they understand now that zero revisions is something that they can have through a brand strategy. And then the very next thing, okay, what might they need to know after they realize that? They might need to actually start getting introduced into what brand strategy is. And then maybe they see brand strategy and then they get really intimidated by brand strategy. So then we need to do some content around how to make brand strategy not feel so intimidating and scary and long, and how it actually makes the project easier. And then they start to think, well, okay, I can do brand strategy and it feels easy, but I don't have all these credentials. I don't have a marketing degree. Like, who am I to be giving someone else strategy? So then we have to do some mindset work around that. So do you know what I mean? Like, we're trying to see the issues that they might have in a sequential order. It's a story that our people are going through. Now, if you listen to the episode 2 weeks ago where we talked about the marketing funnel, we know that everybody is not going to follow that. It's not going to follow that journey every single time. I don't suspect anybody to necessarily, or the majority of people, to be following exactly what I'm saying every single time. But I do think it's still helpful to look at your marketing framework. Like, let's say you're not framework, but you're marketing in terms of that storyline, and to build it up on one itself. Because one, there are going to be people who are doing that, and it's going to be super, super helpful for them. But two, it's also going to give you a lot of purpose when it comes to your marketing. So I think we assume with a marketing funnel is that people are going to go through this journey incredibly quickly. But when you help and have content around the journey being long, and just having tons of content around that where people can go and in and out at any time, I think is where the 2024 marketing really, really is more helpful rather than the marketing funnel. So like, we're kind of taking the marketing funnel where people would go through this really intense funnel in like 2 weeks or 1 week, and we're expanding that to say now it's like 6 weeks or 12 weeks or 8 weeks or whatever it is. And it's in a form where they can constantly go back and revisit it. It's on Reels, it's on TikTok, it's on podcasts, it's on whatever content it is that they're listening or watching. And it's in a lot more of a accessible way to go back and see that journey of how they're getting from A to, you know, C. So not even understanding, oh wait, what the heck is brand strategy, all the way to, by the time they get done with looking through a lot of your content, they realize, oh my gosh, yeah, this is like a real problem that I have. And I think brand strategy, this course might really, really help me. Okay, we're spending so much time on these things, but I think they're really, really important. Now, the third thing that I feel like we need to talk about when it comes to launching that is super, super, super important is you have to understand when you go into a launch that something is going to happen that you don't like. I feel like we always are assuming that when we go into a launch, or at least I did when I first started, that I have to have every single thing lined up perfectly and nothing can go wrong, because it's like do or die type of thing. Like if I get one thing wrong, I could lose millions of dollars, and it's going to be horrible if I just have one Zapier connection that's not working or anything, like a web connection. Oh my gosh, it's going to be the death of me. And the thing that I have learned through launching over and over and over again is that those things are going to happen all the time. Every single launch, something happens. Like, for example, one time we spent like tens of thousands of dollars, me and a collaborator that we were going in on with, tens of thousands of dollars in with Facebook ads. And the thing about Facebook ads is that they don't really start working until after a couple days. Like it kind of doesn't really matter how much you spend money on. Like I think you do have to at least spend a couple thousand dollars. But like they really, really start working like after a couple days. And then that's when Facebook ads start to understand, okay, this is the person who's really jiving with this content. Now you can like push, go, you know, that's when you can like really push pedal to the metal on your ads and like start going. So with this particular launch, like this launch, by the way, was like a huge moneymaker. Like half of our revenue sometimes comes from this launch. So we poured tons of money into it. Like at this point, it was like $30,000 or something, maybe even more into this launch, just on the Facebook ads. And right before we were like, okay, like we're ready to like spend more, like pedal to the metal, we're ready to go, is when our complete Facebook ads account got shut down completely. And we were freaking out. We're like, there goes our whole launch. Like we just lost tens of thousands of dollars, not to mention all the revenue that we just lost. Like it was catastrophic. We had a whole day where we were just like speechless to each other. It was wild. And so instead we were just like, okay, well, what do we do now? We started doing some TikTok ads and we started doing more organic content. I think we added in like another live Q&A. Like you just do what you have to do in order to make that launch work. Now, luckily, we got our Facebook ads account up and working, but it wasn't until a couple days later we still lost, you know, a couple days of advertising, and that kind of sucked. But like, we still in the end like recouped it, and we still actually had a pretty fairly really actually profitable launch. And there's another time, oh my gosh, where this was like back in the day. Like, I think I was like at least maybe 5 years ago. I was doing a webinar, and this was, again, back in the day when webinars were really big and they were scripted and they had to be perfect and they were really, really fluffy. But to me, in my head, I was like, this is like what I'm supposed to do, right? Like, I had paid a coach to tell me, you need to hire now a copywriter to write your webinar. Like, the webinar needs to be flawless, perfect, not one word out of place. And there's a very strict sequence that you're supposed to follow. Like, don't stray from this. And so I was like, okay, cool, sounds good. I hired a copywriter, and the copywriter did honestly great. She did so, so awesome. But literally, the webinar was so fluffy. It was so freaking fluffy. And I even remember going through this, and I was like, this is like really, really good. The script is amazing, but like, it is, it's fluffy. I was like, are people really gonna come and watch this? But I kind of got in my head where I was like, you know, like, maybe people don't really know this stuff and it is going to be helpful and whatever, whatever, whatever. But in my head, I was like, I don't know how I feel about this. And I was super new to launching into digital products and just into business in general. And so I was like, okay, well, let's just give it a try at least. And literally, not even halfway through my webinar, people were hating it so much and just like, this is the worst webinar I've ever been to. Carly sucks. I can't believe I'm sitting here. Can't believe I, and genuinely, I felt terrible. Like, people were like, I can't believe I got a babysitter to be able to watch this. And I was like, yeah, like, I don't blame you. Like, this sucks. 110%. Yeah. But people were so mean and relentless about it that I was like, okay, like, chill. Like, you don't need to personally attack me. And I just kept going on with the webinar. Like, it was no big deal. Like, what else am I supposed to do? And I don't know, now looking back, I'm like, maybe I probably should have just like stopped and like, hey, you guys, you know what? I'm so sorry. You're right. I'm just, you know, you're right. This is not the greatest thing in the world. So let's just do a Q&A. Like, let me show you around what my brand strategy process actually is instead of me just telling you why your brand strategy is so important. And I think that also too, like, I was getting to the point where brand strategy was a lot more, you know, familiar with people. People knew why brand strategy was important. Like, a year ago, that webinar killed. It was awesome. Because people were like, oh, wow, brand strategy, like, that could be really helpful to me. But then like a year later, it was like, oh yeah, we know, like, you don't need to tell us why this is so important. I was like, yeah, you're right. You're right. So anyways, but they literally started a Facebook group, and I never was able to find it, but people are like linking it in the comments. And I don't know, I should have clicked on it and like saved it so I could go look at it in the future, or maybe I was like blocked from it or something. But they literally created a Facebook group of how much they hated me and my webinar, like a Facebook literal hate group just because of a webinar that completely sucked. It was crazy. It was crazy. Not saying that I didn't deserve it, because I honestly feel like I did, but still, I don't know if I would ever to this day like create an actual hate group because of someone did something that I didn't like. I don't know. So that was a really, really fun one. But what I did was that night I was like, screw it, I'm rewriting the entire webinar. I'm doing this how I want to do it. I rewrote the entire webinar, which, if you've never been to a webinar, it's like an hour long, and this was like 160 slides or something. Rewrote it all, and I did it the next day because I had another one scheduled, and I presented an entire new webinar, and it killed. It did awesome. I got like 10 sales on the next webinar. It was like no big deal then. Like, I was crying the night before. I was so depressed. I was so sad. I felt like absolute shit. And then the next day I made 10 sales because I was like, nope, I'm following my gut. And we were flexible to the things that we're saying. So anyways, bottom of the line is like, you need to be flexible towards things that are going to happen in the launch, because something shitty is going to happen in the launch. And there's nothing you can do about it. You can't control every single factor that is going to play into how many sales you make or how well you do. You just have to control the things that you can control. And you just have to tell yourself, like, you know what? I'm going to do the very best that I can with the things that I have control over. And with the things that I can't control over, I have to accept that I can't. But, like, I know that I have the ability to problem solve and to figure that out when that stuff happens. It's going to happen. I'm prepared for it. I have the space. I didn't schedule anything else crazy that week so that I have the ability to be able to react, to be flexible, to change, to adapt for the launch when something like that happens. Just one more story because I feel like this is going to be helpful too. There was one time too when this was just 2 years ago when we were doing a big 10KGG launch and we had a goal of getting 20 people in 10KGG. And the first week we got like two people, maybe one person. And I was like, there's no way, like we'll be lucky to get 10 people in. And I just kind of readjusted my goals. I was like, you know what? 10 people sounds a lot more reasonable, I guess. That's what we're going to shoot for. But I didn't really know what was happening because we had a lot of people who are interested in 10KGG and they wanted to join so freaking bad, but they're like, I just can't afford it. And I was like, yeah, I totally get it. Like it is expensive. And so what we did is we changed the payment plan to make it a lot more accessible. And I'm not kidding, guys, we had 25 people signed up by the next week. Like I even told a person on our team, I was like, there's no way. Like we're not gonna get it. And it's totally fine. You know, that's what happens. We'll just have to figure it out and adjust it for next time. But by the very like couple next days, we had not only reached our goal, but surpassed it just because we were flexible and listening to what it was that people were telling us and saying about what they wanted for this product. And so we adapted and gave that to them. And we've done that, I swear, again, every single launch. Like I could just go on and go on about how many stories where we've had to be flexible and change, because that is to me where I feel like a successful seller of digital products is in the actual flexibility that you have to adapt and be smart and just not be so incredibly over invested in the result of the launch. You just have to, again, tell yourself, like, you know what? I believe in this product. If you go through DBD, you know it is a good product. If you've done your research, you're following the research-backed strategies. And you just have to say, you know what? There's something in this product, but, like, I don't know how it's going to go. And I know it has the ability to be a million-dollar product, but I don't know when or how this could happen. I just know that I have the ability to figure that out. And it's going to happen one day. Maybe not today. Maybe not this launch. Maybe not even next launch. But someday and pretty soon, sooner than I probably think, it's going to do super well. I just have to figure out the nuances of what happens every launch. So this launch, we figure out, oh my gosh, the messaging off. The next launch, you figure out the payment plan wasn't quite working. And then the next launch, you figure out, okay, we really don't want to do webinars. People aren't relating to that. We need to do more this, this, this. And then that's how we get the launch up and going. Okay, and the last thing that I want to talk about when it comes to launching is that it's okay to do random and fun things when it comes to launching. Not everything needs to have a completely strategic purpose where it's like, oh, well, this is going to get us that many followers and da, da, da. Sometimes you just want to do launch things that are going to build your community and get people to say, yes, I trust this person. And I think that's a really important part of launching that people need to be integrating more into their process, especially now in 2024, where people are a lot more hesitant to buy a digital product because we got burned in 2020 when people are like, yeah, go do your digital products. And we were just like sucking them in like it was oxygen. People are way more cautious now to invest in any sort of digital product. And so having something that is literally there just to build some kind of trust and to say, yes, I know what it is that I am doing and I know what it is that I'm talking about. And you are someone that like I jive with, we get each other. We can get this. We're okay. Is so, so important. So for example, like with this last launch that we just barely did, we just did a day where it is purely just like a free coaching call. Like there was no pitch at the end. There was nothing. It was a couple weeks before we were launching 10KGG. I was like, I just want people to understand like what it's like to be coached like me. What is it like to do a group call with me? And I want to give people just free coaching. I just want to give back to this little community that I have and that I love. And we had how many sales come from there? It was like 25% of the sales that we had gotten from 10KGG. 25% of those people were in that call. And one of those people I know for sure joined because of that call. Like she was like, because that was so amazing. Like this is exactly what I'm sounding like it needs. we had past 10KGG members who came. We're like, yes, like, it's so awesome. And they were just like organically hyping me up. Like, it was the best thing ever to do that. And we're 100% going to be doing it again. I also want to be doing just like things where it's not necessarily coaching. Like, it's just purely fun. Like, we did a couple years ago, and we're going to be doing it again here pretty soon. So I'll keep you guys on the details when it happens. We did a designers only event, or designers only sleepover is what we called it. And we just did like trivia games and like get to know you stuff. Like, it was so freaking fun. And at the end, we did a Q&A with like some panels of guest experts and stuff like that. And it was a little bit of education at the end, but it was purely just like, hey, let's get to know each other. Like, if you have any questions for us, like, we're here just to talk to you guys. So whatever questions you have, whatever help we can give you, we want to give you help in the form of like getting your questions answered, but also providing a community for you and having fun. And because running a business can be stressful. And so I think that community part of it is so, so, so important. So if there's something where it's like, wow, this sounds so fun to me, like, I'd love to do an event like this. Like, I don't necessarily want to do a webinar or like tons of content where I'm just like pitching and talking about how important this is all the time. Do something that sounds fun, because that sounds fun to you. I promise you it's going to sound fun to someone that's in your audience. So do those fun things that don't necessarily have any strategy behind them, because they do. They serve a very real purpose that you need in your business. Now, we are like 37, 45 minutes into this podcast. We haven't even yet to get into the entire launching schedule. So I had every single intent to go into this podcast with the, I'm gonna have to retitle this podcast, intent to like go through the entire launching schedule, but we're gonna have to do that for next week. And this week we're just gonna have it be like, here are the things that I wish I knew about launching or something like that. So if you want to hear the rest of what's happening for a launch schedule that I would go through, come back next week. And if you have any questions in the meantime, or you things that you would love to see for next week's episode, you can always send us a DM on Instagram at CEO over it podcast, or at Carliana underscore, or you can even just email us and, you know, we'd be happy to chat there. Or if this is something that you're like, yeah, I really want to learn more about digital products, it's like one of my goals for 2024, get on the DPD waitlist. It's going to be opening soon, and you're going to get $200 off, and we'll see you guys there. Hope you guys have a fabulous week. Bye-bye.